as long as I can remember. And I'm older than him, so probably as long as he can remember also. It's really, he walked in last week, and I went up to shake this visitor's hand. And I said, this nice family was coming in here. And I walked up, and he said, hey, how you doing? And I was like, oh, it's Todd. And it's really great to see him. We're looking forward to catching up a little bit more tonight with Brother Todd. But you come preach to us.
Just a few miles away from here in the city of Roseville. Grew up in church not too far from here in the 12 Ryan Baptist Church. And honestly, I've known Brother Stephen as long as I can remember as well. And that's a great thing to see familiar faces and to know that we're working in the ministry together just in different places. If we could, let's take a look at our video, and then I'll explain a few things, and we'll get into the message. All right, so that kind of give you a run through of where we started. Actually, I was in Bible school in Wisconsin before heading down to Peru. I actually transferred to a Bible Institute in Peru, finished there under a veteran missionary that had been there for over 40 years, finished with my master's degree in biblical studies, came home and met the woman of my dreams, Rosalinda, and 2 weeks after we got married, we started Deputation, and 10 months later, we were in Peru, celebrated our first wedding anniversary in Peru. On October 23rd, 2004, we started the Family Baptist Mission, just three of us. We had some help from some missionaries a little bit later on, and then they moved on to start a new work in a different city, but the Lord has blessed. We've been able to see many people come through the doors of the Family Baptist Mission, which is now Family Baptist Mission Church, and we've been able to see many, many children. The Lord's given us a burden for children, and we just had our vacation Bible school in the month of February, and you'd say, why do you have it in the month of February? Well, we're actually in summertime in the month of February, while you are all in winter. And some people say, well, brother, why did you come up now? I've been asking myself the same question. I forgot what winter and spring was like in Michigan, because it's still winter. But we had a great time with our vacation Bible school. We have a small church, but we had a great amount of kids. We had 95 kids come to our vacation Bible school. And we praise the Lord for that. It's funny because although we're not one of the largest churches in our city, and our city consists of about 2 million people, we have one of the largest children programs of all churches. And that's been a blessing to our ministry to work with children. And a lot of the adults that you see in our pictures or in our presentations are results of our children's ministry, parents being saved through our children's ministry. That is the purpose, is to see people saved. You know, some ask us about our children's ministries, and sometimes people might think, well, that's just a gimmick to get people into church. I tell you what, it is the biggest blessing to see children come through that door and hear the gospel and then share it with their parents. And we've been blessed beyond belief. We've been in Peru now. Well, I've been there for 12 years, but we've been down there for 9 years as missionaries. It's been a wonderful time. I really don't like to come home. I mean, I miss family and I miss the United States, but I'd rather be down there in the ministry. But we came home just because of some financial need. Over the period of time that we've been down in Peru, the dollar has weakened, especially in the last 4 years. The dollar has really taken a hit. And so our exchange rate when we first got to Peru was 3.5 on the dollar. So for every $100, we would get $350. Going about 4 years back, it started to drop, and now it's down to 2.5. 2.5 means that if we change $100, now we only get $250 instead of $350. So we've taken about a 30% cut in pay just because of the exchange rate. We've had some churches up here in the States go through financial struggles as well because of economic crisis. And so we've lost about another 30% of our support due to churches struggling. So we're down about 60% of our support. That kind of forced us to come home, especially having a child in the family now, and Lord willing, maybe another one or two or three, four, five, six, seven, eight. My wife is looking at me like, what? I ask that you would pray for us. Besides losing support, the cost of living has gone through the roof. Peru is one of the fastest growing economies in the world, one of the five fastest growing economies in the world. And that's because we have something that most countries don't have. We have gold. A lot of gold. A lot of silver. And so the economy is booming. When we first went down, we could rent an apartment or a house for between $150 and $300 a month. That cost has gone up to about $600 to $1,000 a month. So the cost of living has really changed. And so we've come home to try to raise some more support to see if there are churches that could help us in our ministry down in Peru. We're also trying to raise money for a vehicle. If you would, pray for us. We don't own our own vehicle at this time in Peru. And the reason that we'd like to have a vehicle, our city has grown from 1.2 million people to 2 million people. And that means the cost of taxis have gone up. And the U.S. Embassy has written us letters telling us to stop taking taxis. We know several people that have been abducted, kidnapped, beaten, robbed, and for taking taxis. Right now, we don't have a choice. That's our only mode of transportation. Or we could take the public bus system where the same thing happens. So pray for us. We'd like to get a vehicle. And apart from all that, it's nice to have a vehicle when you have kids, because you start to have to carry more and more bags and things with you, as many of you know. So we appreciate your prayers, appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Be praying for your pastor. I've known your pastor for a very long time. I can remember when he was still dating. he was a little bit thinner back then. Wait, we're on the internet, and I shouldn't have said that, right? But it is good to be here, and it was good to spend a little bit of time with the pastor before he traveled. Tonight, if you would, take your Bibles and open to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 10. One of the things that people normally figure is that a missionary, when he's going around preaching to churches, he just preaches the same message. And I try not to do that. So if you've heard me preach while you're here in the States or here in Michigan, a different church, don't worry, you probably haven't heard this sermon. And someone asked me for my notes. They said, "Can I have your notes to your sermon?" And I said, "There's one problem. My notes are in Spanish. So if you cannot understand Spanish, my notes are worthless to you." Luke chapter 10, we're going to start reading in verse 25. We're going to take a look at a very familiar scripture, but we're going to maybe see something that we haven't seen before. So if you would, for the reading of God's word, would you please stand? And we'll start in verse 25 of Luke 10. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, 'Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts. Lord, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Allow us to receive your word. Lord, allow us to be changed tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd help us to leave in a better spiritual condition than when we came in. And we ask these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The story of the Good Samaritan. That's what we call it. It's known among many people, believers as well as non-believers, the Samaritan. Tonight we're going to look at this story, and some people do say, Brother Todd, you know, it's in their mind, you're a missionary. Come and challenge us on Matthew 28, because that is the classic missionary scripture. Come and preach on Mark chapter 16. But tonight, we're looking at Luke chapter 10. We see something here that's interesting. If you'll stay with me, I'm quick. I'm fast. We won't stay long. You'll get home and eat and sleep and get ready for work the next day. But tonight, we look at the Samaritan. We see something here that possibly hasn't grabbed our attention. But the Samaritan sees this man that has been beaten, he's been robbed, and he's been left for dead. Now, think about this. We have a few people in the story besides the Samaritan. We have the priest and we have a Levite. We have two people that are supposed to be setting examples before all men. Someone that when we hear what their position is, where they come from, we would expect more. When I came back from Peru to the United States, one of the things that I was really hoping to have was encouragement. When you're in Peru and you're far, far away in a land that doesn't speak your native language, that doesn't eat your native food, there is no Checkers or Rallies there. There is no Wendy's. We do have McDonald's. And some people say that the burger is made out of llama. I don't know. but when you come from a place that's so far away, 8,000 feet above sea level in the Andes Mountains with three volcanoes surrounding you, tremors and earthquakes once in a while, you come home and you can't wait to be encouraged. I mean, we get encouraged, and I know I was raised here in Michigan, but something happened to my tongue from being born in Tennessee. When I come home, I want to eat grits. I want to eat fried okra. I want to eat greens, collard greens, mustard greens, you name it. I mean, good Southern cooking. That encourages me. How many people are encouraged by that? but being encouraged, we really want to be encouraged spiritually. And we've come home, and that hasn't been the case. We see lots of churches closing their doors, lots of churches without pastoral leadership. We see lots of churches disappearing. We were in this Detroit area, and we were visiting some churches that I remember as a child attending conferences, having packed from door to door, wall to wall, overflows with chairs in the aisleways, and it's not happening anymore. Been in services where there's maybe 7 people, 10 people. And that's sad. We come home and we turn on the news, and that's probably a big mistake. Turn on the local news and another shooting, another stabbing, another killing, another disappearance. I always wonder why people don't like to watch the news. And I realize because all it is bad news. No encouragement. If you want to be encouraged, don't watch the news. It's a mess. We find that now if you send your child to school, you pray a lot more that they come home alive at the end of the day. We find that now you're not allowed to wear the American flag on your clothes when you go to school. Now it's okay to leave out God in the Pledge of Allegiance. You see, when we come back from the mission field, what we found is that we're in a greater mission field. What we found is that the United States has gone very far away from God. What we understand now is that God is not here. Go to school, where's God? He's not there. Out in the streets, where's God? He's not there. Because nobody wants him. The saddest thing is that we, just like the priest, just like the Levite, we see somebody in need. We see that the United States of America is that somebody that has been beaten, that has been bruised, that has been robbed and left to die. and we look, and we see that need, and we walk on by the other side. You see, we have soul winning programs, and that's great. I was talking to Pastor earlier a week ago, and he shared with me how many people come out for soul winning. I think that's fantastic. To me, that's encouraging. My question always is, how many are soul winning during the week on their own time? You see, we see a need many times, and we walk to the other side. The other day, I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to computers, a little bit of a geek. I love technology. Everything wireless, that's the best way to go. And I even seen this commercial they were showing, and the husband is telling the wife, she's writing on paper, and he shows her his iPad. And he says, "Hello." And then she's using a sticky note, and he shows on his iPad sticky notes. And for everything she did on paper, he shows his iPad, his tablet, until he's in the restroom and he runs out of toilet paper. And she slides his iPad under the door. I love technology, and so I was helping someone with their purchase of a computer. They were buying a used computer. And I said, "Well, let's meet the person. We'll meet him at McDonald's, and I'll get to look at the computer." And the Lord said, "Hey, this is an opportunity." And so I got to talk to somebody about the Lord because of a computer purchase. And I thought, that was great. Man, I felt good. Then I started to feel really bad. And I said, how many times in our lives we have that opportunity? How many times God opens that door? How many times God puts that person right in front of us? And we say nothing. We talk about sports, and I know sports around here is a sore subject after last week, right? It's sore for a lot of people. And they were bleeding maize and blue, and it didn't happen. We talk about sports. Talk about food. I love to talk about food. I love to eat it even more than I like to talk about it. We talk about things like that. We talk about what's going on in work. We talk about the economy. We talk about politics. And we leave out the most important factor, our God. Sometimes we're so distracted, and God is saying, here is a person in need of salvation. Here is a person that does not understand that if they don't know Christ as their Savior, they are on their way to hell. We look over there in the book of Revelation. If you would hold your finger there in Luke, we'll come back to it. But go over to Revelation chapter 20. One of our needs that we have is to remember. The other day, we were looking in the section of drinks, and we come back to the United States, and there's everything. I mean, there's everything carbonated, everything fat-free, calorie-free, no taste. It was awesome. and there was something, I don't remember what it was called. I'd say it's brain juice, and it's supposed to help you remember. Boy, could we use some of that sometimes. And if we read the scriptures, it really does help us remember. It says in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Look at the sad part. "The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." If we could just remember that a life without Christ equals eternal suffering, would we do more than walk on by? If we just realized that the torment that someone might suffer for not knowing Christ, would we say something? I was watching on the internet, there was an interview, and they were interviewing people in the streets here in the United States, and they said, tell us something you know about Jesus. Some people said, I can't tell you anything. Some people said, he's supposedly a savior. Some people kept silent. Then the question was presented. Let me just ask you a simple question. If someone gave their life, a stranger that you never knew, gave their life to save yours, would you want to know about them? The answer unanimously among the people here in the United States was yes. Why would they do that? I'd want to know. Why would they give their life for me? Why would they put themselves in danger for someone that they don't know? Sure, I want to know that person. Let me tell you tonight that that person is Jesus Christ. He gave his life for us. You know, I was thinking about this, and I know sometimes we get in a bad habit of just being the silent partner when we go out soul winning. And just follow me, follow this for just a moment. It's a bad habit. Because you think about this. God looked upon man and saw his evilness, saw his sin, and he still sends his son to die on the cross. His body was beaten, his body was broken, his flesh was torn, he bled. He suffered. He was hung on the cross to die for us. Is that not enough to be able to share the gospel with somebody else? You see, when a fireman goes into a building and he saves a baby, we write articles about it. It's on the news. We want everybody to know that he's a hero. And Jesus Christ did so much more. Because he didn't save our temporary life. He gave us eternal life. When we think about the Samaritan, he saw the need, but then he also provided for the need. You see, we as Christians in the United States many times become like the Levite and the priest. But there was one example, the least likely, provided for that need. I took a survey in our church, and one of the things I really wanted to know is why people do not share the gospel. Why do we not share the gospel? And if we're honest with ourselves, we've had lots of opportunities to do it, and a lot of opportunities that we have not. I asked the church, and I just kind of wanted to get a feeling, why do you not share the gospel? Not saying that they never share the gospel, but when they have opportunities, why not? You know what the number one answer was, the conclusion that we came to? They were afraid of being rejected. Let me tell you something. Nobody likes to be rejected. I remember that day that I took Rosalinda to a Mexican restaurant. It's called Poncho down in South Texas. And I remember that day so clearly because I got down on my knee and I opened the little black box and I said, will you marry me? One, two, three, four, five, 13. Nobody likes that feeling. I was thinking, should I close the box and run? And she just stared at me. And I couldn't imagine if she said no. What have I done? I'm not really a nervous kind of guy. I can speak in front of groups, small groups, large groups. Doesn't bother me. And at that moment, I'm on the ground in a restaurant, in a balcony, and I'm shaking because I was afraid of rejection. How many times we have the opportunity to share the gospel, but we're afraid of being rejected by our family members. We don't want to cause problem in the family, so we've tried to tell them, it's better we just leave it alone. Have you ever thought that way? Have you ever thought, well, I've told them before, if they don't want to listen, I just have to leave it at that. You ever thought that way? You see, if that child is burning in the building, we don't go in into the first couple steps of the house and say, oh, it's just too hot. I tried my best. I'm out of here. No, especially if it's one of our children, we're going in no matter what it takes to save the life of our child. And yet, we have people dying and going to hell, and we do nothing. Samaritan provided for the need. He didn't just provide for the need. When we look back at Luke chapter 10, we see something else. Verse 35, it says, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. A stranger, someone that did not know this man, now using everything he has to save his life. The Lord's given us strength. The Lord's given us ability to speak. The Lord's given us ability in other ways. Some people are able to play music. Some people are able to sing. God's given us so much. Yet so many times we use so little to share his word with others. He takes out his money and he says, I'm giving you what I have. Just paraphrasing. I'm giving you what I have, and if it costs more, if it takes more, I will repay you. Whatever it takes, whatever I have, I can do to save this man's life, I will use. Probably one of the things that I've noticed coming back home that we really don't have much of is time. It's a rushed lifestyle. In Peru, we start a project, and if we don't finish, well, if the Peruvians don't finish, they say, I'll do it tomorrow. And if they don't finish tomorrow, there's always the next day. And I'm pulling out my hair saying, let's get this done. Because that's how we were raised. That's how we live. Everything's on a schedule. Got to get it done. Got to have it done tomorrow. Got to have this. And we start to live this rushed lifestyle, and we forget about others. We forget that our time is not ours. It's interesting, in the book of Genesis, it says that God created time. And we forget that time belongs to him, not to us. Now, would you take 5 minutes to help somebody out of their car before the gasoline tank explodes? Would it be worth those 5 minutes to help them get their seatbelt loose and get them out of there? Would it be worth it? Sure it would. Would it be worth it to take 5 minutes to tell somebody that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross for their sins so that they might not have to suffer for an eternity? Is it worth it? When you picture the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, when you picture him crucified there in torment because of you, because of your sin, is it not worth it to share with somebody else? I praise the Lord that that he's blessed this church, but there's still much more space to be filled. Amen? There's so much more work to be done. He's not done, is he? You know, we hear sometimes some pastors from the United States say, man, things are looking really bad. Things economically, things politically. It looks like the Lord's going to come. I'm going to guess he's coming this year. We're in Peru and we're preaching the gospel. People are getting saved and we're having baptisms and we're seeing children come into church. And I'm thinking, sure, the Lord could come today, but he's still working. He's still saving souls. When you're out knocking on doors and someone allows you to share the gospel, doesn't that get you a little excited? I mean, that's better than eating collard greens and mustard greens. I mean, that's exciting. The Lord is working. He's showing that we still have time to show others that he died for their sins. You see, the Samaritan, he saw the need. He provided for the need. He gave everything he had. What is it exactly that you have that you haven't given for the cause of Christ? To me, it's so exciting. Brother Stephen's here and he's preaching. That's exciting to me. And then he was sharing with me, oh, well, my cousin's a preacher. And I start to hear more and more young guys are preaching the gospel. Got to meet Joe, and it's exciting to me. But you know what? It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the preacher's job. When we do see that commission that's given, it's given to the church. It's given to all of us to preach the gospel. We want to see growth. We want to see blessings. We have to look at the need. What does our nation need at this time? I know there's a lot of uproar about gun control. There's a lot of uproar about marriage. What does our nation need? It needs Christ. What is the answer to America's problems? There's news channels dedicated to giving shows about answering that question. While we can answer it with one simple word, Christ. What is the answer to our problems? What is the answer to our needs? Christ. We see the need and we provide for the need. We use everything we have. We were in Walmart the other day, and I mean, we're used to coming back to the South first, and Walmart's a big thing down South. I mean, who needs a mall when you got Walmart? And we go to Walmart, and we were in Walmart over here, actually, in Sterling Heights. Went to Walmart, and we were about to check out, and our daughter had a little Detroit Tigers hat on. We're teaching her young, you know. She was born a Tigers fan. She just doesn't know it yet. And so someone behind us, lady and her husband, commented that something about her hat. And I said, yeah, well, we're trying to get her some Detroit gear while we're here because where we live, there is none. And they said, oh, where do you live? I said, oh, well, we're missionaries down in Peru, South America. Oh, that's great. That's great. Lord bless you. We pay, and we're about to leave. And the lady comes up and grabs my hand. And her hand's not empty. There's money in her hand passing to my hand. And she says, plant this in your ministry. Who expects to get an offering at Walmart? I mean, you go there for low, low prices, but you don't expect to get money in your hand. We see the need, we provide for the need. We use what God's given us. So tonight, I just leave you with this one question after we read a scripture. We go back and we read verse 27. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. The question I ask to you tonight is, looking at the spiritual need of the United States of America, looking at the spiritual need of Warren, Michigan, are you a good Samaritan? Brother Stephen.
Thank you, Brother Todd. Great challenging message. While the musicians are making their way up, I think it's a perfect time to give you an announcement. I want to remind the teens that this Wednesday we have teen soul winning training at 6 o'clock. And after that message, how could you not want to be here for teen soul winning training this Wednesday at 6 o'clock? Parents, make it a priority to get your kids here Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We're going to